Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message. And now on to this week's sermon.
Got the beginnings, the first sermon in a brand new series today. And he's chomping at the bit to get going with it. So we're going to pray and go. Father God, I just thank you so much for Mike. I thank you for his listening ear to what you speak for this congregation. God, we just pray today, God, that our ears and our heart would be open to what you would say to us through Mike. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Sounds like you're excited for the worship night. Yeah. Or is that just the band that's cheering? I don't know. No, it will be a great night. I encourage you to be here for that. And we are starting a new series of sermons today. And guess what we're titling the series? Renew. Right. We're going to be talking about renewing our minds. There happens to be a scripture behind that, if you can imagine that. Romans, the book of Romans 12, chapter 12. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern. We're talking a lot about discernment this year, right? Discerning God's voice, that you may, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's what we're working toward, right? We're working to discern God's word. To us, as a church, as individual people, and like, God, where are you? What's my next step? Where do you want me to go? So, you know, we're doing our best to discern his word, and we can get started with that by renewing our minds, as this verse talks about. I wonder if we miss God's voice so many times because, you know, sometimes our minds, our mindsets, prevent us from really understanding or believing what he speaks about us. Because, you know, I 100% believe that God speaks to us. He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us, that he is good, that he loves us. I also believe 100% we have an enemy who hates us. We have an enemy who would like to destroy us, who would like to take us down, who would like to make us ineffective. And I'm afraid that so many times our mindsets are not focused on where God wants us to go, because the enemy of our soul tells us where we've been and where we've messed up in the past. And we lose sight of the fact that God has this plan and that he's not going to like stop just because we screwed up a couple of days ago. God's plans are forever for us, and that he gives us this purpose and this vision and this mission, and we can walk in it, and we can wake up every day full of hope and know that God has a plan for me today. And no matter how bad I messed up yesterday, today is brand new. His mercies are new every morning, and God has a plan for me, and I can walk in that. I don't need to remember that old guy that was doing those things before, because God makes me brand new every day. I think you should get excited about that. This is interactive, guys. Come on. Oh, my goodness. Get excited about my computer turning off on me. Oops. All right. We may just have to wing it here, huh? Can we do that? Ah, you're in luck. We are, Joy Church, we are a very outwardly focused church. We believe on what our mission statement is, to impact our communities with the Father's love, and that's what we try to do. Everything we do is kind of focused on that. How can we impact our communities with the Father's love? We serve them. We serve each other. We serve here in church. We serve in our community, and we do what we can to bring those far from God closer to God, right? But for the next few weeks, when we talk about this whole series on renewing our mind, we're going to look at ourselves a little bit. We're going to look at how we think about things. We're going to think about what we think about, if you would. And we're going to see that our mindset is so important, and that God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's not we're not transformed by being emotional and feeling really good when we're singing worship songs. We're being transformed by renewing our mind in what God has for us through His Word. That includes worship. That includes emotions, because all that is good and comes from God. But we transform our mind. We're going to think about what we think about, and we're going to see how God can transform us as He renews our minds. Scripture tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we're a new creation. That we are new. We're a new creation when we're in Christ Jesus, right? A new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We're doing baptisms next week, and we love that scripture, to quote that scripture when we're baptizing folks. As you go into the water and you come out, the old is gone. That should be something to get excited about too, because we're brand new. God's creating a new you every day. Remember the old, I think it was the milk commercial, there's a new you coming every day. I think that's a gospel commercial as well. There's a new you coming every day, because God transforms us by renewing our minds. So we're becoming the new you, right? And if we want to be the new you, then it's time to renew. Renew our minds. Transformed, as God has us transformed into the new you. God continues to do this new in our lives, throughout our lives. It's not a one and done. That would be way too easy, wouldn't it? But it's God continues to work in us and grow us throughout our lives. It's interesting, even in this scripture from the book of Romans that I just read, Romans 12:2, the verb tense that we have. If you're an English geek, don't judge me, because I might be a little bit wrong. But basically, the verb here to be transformed, I think it's called present perfect, maybe. It started in the past, and it continues into the present, to be transformed. We're not transformed today, and we're all done. We're good. No, we're being transformed every day, as God's mercies are new in us every day, and as He grows us every day, and as He gives us His Word every day. He gives us direction every day, and He gives us hope every day. There's a new you every day. Be being transformed is the way I like to look at it. As a matter of fact, as far back as the Old Testament, way before Jesus was on earth, and Isaiah the prophet spoke in Isaiah 43:18-19, and he says, Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'm doing a new thing in you, in me. A new thing. Yes, and I'm thankful that we serve a God who identifies Himself and identified Himself to Moses again way back in the Old Testament as the great I am. He doesn't say I'm the great I did or the great I was. He's the great I am. So we can come here today and we say, God is today. But you know what? We can come in 6 months from now and we say, God is the great I am today. Because He never grows old. He's the great I am. Not the great I was or the great I did. He continuously works in us to renew us in present tense. Transforms us. And I'm convinced that there's a connection of the mind and the spirit, where God tells us to be transformed. Our spirits are transformed by renewing our minds. Man, this is important stuff, guys. Because of this, I'm convinced that the best for us is yet to come. We tell you that every week, and I firmly believe it deep in my soul. The best is yet to come, because God's creating something new in us every day. He's not going to create junk tomorrow. The best is yet to come. New, renewing our minds. And that's why it's so important for us to just take this time, to take these next few weeks and think about what we think about. Think about how God can renew our minds, how He can transform us, and to let God make us new every day. Every day. So let's pray very quickly. God, Jesus, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, God, that we're new today, that your mercies are new in us every day, Lord. Lord, the impact of that on our lives is transformational in itself. But God, as we begin to think about the things we think about, as we begin to look at the things that we do and say, God, teach us how to be being transformed throughout our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, it was in 1961. That's been a while. I can say I don't remember it. I'm not going to say I wasn't around, but I say I don't remember it. But John F. Kennedy, our president, said something along the lines of, within this decade, the United States will put a manned spacecraft on the moon. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah. President Kennedy presented that as a fact. He didn't say, I hope we can, or we're going to try to. He says, within the decade, we're going to put a manned spacecraft on the moon. And the thing about it, he had no idea how we were going to do that. Because you could say that sitting there that day and looking at the technology that we had and the people that we had and all the things that were around at that point, going to the moon was impossible on that day. It wasn't going to happen. But he says, we're going to do that within this decade. And so what happened? We got to work, right? Americans got to work. They started working toward this dream or this goal that the president laid before them. Don't you think they encountered a few problems along the way? You think maybe they felt like they were stuck a few times? Like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do next? What are we going to do next? And there were no big mega computers. Your cell phone has more computing power than the biggest computers they had in that time. So how in the world were they going to make this happen? They had limitations, right? I mean, there were physical limitations. They didn't have the computing capacity. They didn't have the technology and all the things that we take for granted today. They were limited by the things they have. They were doing something that had never been done before. And it was so far-fetched. So far-fetched. The only places you would see something like that were in some kind of cheesy science fiction movies from the day. Remember some of those old science fiction movies and how cheesy they were? That was the only people that would talk about this stuff, right? Because it was impossible. There were limitations on that. But you all know the rest of the story, right? We did it. We did it. And on June 20th, 1969, within that decade, the President Kennedy challenged us. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon, and the world was forever different, right? For good or for worse. It was one of the most defining moments, really, in the world, in our history. But just think about it a little bit, of that time where all those people that worked for NASA, that worked on this Apollo project, what if they had listened to those limitations, the limiting beliefs, the things that they knew in their mind were limitations? What if they just paid attention to that, and what if they just said, you know what? It's not going to work. Don't you think they had days where they felt that way? I think one of the greatest issues we have in today's church is that we know God has plans for us, but we see them through the lens of our own human. And then, you know, sometimes we even go as far as to kind of argue for those limitations that we feel like we have on us, right? We're our biggest enemy there. We argue for those limitations. We let our self-talk convince us that surely we can't do that business, God. So I know that I feel in my spirit that you want me to do that, but God, I can't do it. I don't know enough about it. God, I can't get that job. Do you know how many people out there are more my life organized? My life is a mess and I can't organize it. There's just too many things on my plate, God. I'm stuck. I can't do it. We talk ourselves into believing these limitations that we put on. I can't do it. I give up. I'm stuck. We talk ourselves out of these dreams that God puts in our heart. We talk ourselves out of the visions that he's put in our minds and our hearts. We talk ourselves out of it. We talk to ourselves, and we tell ourselves why we can't. We tell ourselves, oh, remember about that time where you failed about in this occasion. And remember that time that you did this. You certainly can't move forward and start that business. You certainly can't move forward and get that job. We talk to ourselves in such a mean way that we would never, ever, ever talk to someone else. Well, I believe that we should listen to ourselves talking a lot less and let God's word talk to us a lot more. Listen to ourselves a lot less and listen to God's word a lot more. And I believe that's, again, another one of the I know we harp on this a lot. Another one of the big issues that we have in the church, not just Joy Church, but the church all over the world, is that we don't know Scripture. Got kind of tense in here, didn't it? We don't get in the Word and read it. Maybe we put a limitation on ourselves. Oh, God, I tried once and I didn't understand it. Get in there and do it again. You're not stuck with that. We believe that we need to listen to God's word more, and to listen to his word more, we need to know it a little bit, right? We need to know what he says about us. We need to know these scriptures who tell us who we are. More importantly, they tell us whose we are. In Genesis 1:27, if we read that, we can read that we are made in God's image. Can you imagine God created us in his image and his likeness, and yet we want to put limitations on ourselves and say, oh, I can't do that, God. That's just too much. Romans 15:7 tells us that we're accepted. John 15:16 says that you are chosen. Romans 8:28-29 says God loves you no matter what. There's nothing you can do about it. Galatians 3:13 says you are rescued. Colossians 2:10 says you are complete in Christ Jesus. We need to know these things about ourselves. We need to think these things to ourselves. We need to speak these things over ourselves and know who we are and know whose we are. And when we do that, we'll get past that feeling of being stuck with the self-imposed limitations that we put on ourselves. Because I'm sure that we've all felt stuck at one time or another. And I'd be willing to bet in a crowd this size, we have a lot of people who feel stuck today. Stuck in a situation that they just can't get out of. Stuck in a job that they hate. Stuck starting to try a business because they feel like they don't know how. Stuck. And then we argue for those limitations. We believe them. We help the devil speak those things over us by speaking them to ourselves, for goodness sakes. We forget about the plans that God has for us, the plans to prosper us, plans right out of Scripture. I've done it, guys. I know that it happens. God put in my heart several months ago, probably last fall, that maybe it's a season for me to start coaching people a little bit more, to start doing some kind of life coaching, coaching to help people understand what their mindset can do. And you know what? I took this little course online, and I passed through it, and I got the little certification, and I've been stuck ever since because I don't know what to do next. And I convinced myself that I just don't have what it takes, I guess, because I don't know what to do next. I'm stuck. And then I realized that no. Actually, as I was preparing this, God kind of put it on my heart. You're not stuck. You just stopped. Guys, if we don't stop, we're not going to be stuck. We're not going to be stuck. So let's look at a quick story in Scripture in the Old Testament. And I want to show you the power of mindset is what I really want to call it. If you look at Numbers 13, there's a story there where Israel sent some spies out to look at the land. They were right on the brink of taking the promised land and inhabiting it. And there were enemies in the promised land who didn't want them to have that. Can you imagine in Israel there was like fighting and clashing among different groups of people? We've come a long way since then. So here they were on the brink, and they were ready to take it. And so the leader sent out 10 spies into the land to go and check it out, be a spy and see what you see. And they saw some pretty cool stuff. They saw like people carrying grapes, and they were so big and so plentiful that they had to put them on like two sticks and carry them like two people. I think Kathy did that example years ago. So the people saw this amazing stuff, but they also saw these enemies that were there. And so they come back, and in Numbers 13:33, after the leaders ask them about it, what did you see? Tell us about it. What can we do? When can we go and take this land? And in Numbers 13:33, it says, the report comes back. It says, and there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. We seemed like grasshoppers. God, we can't do this. We look like grasshoppers compared to them, and we know that's the way they see us too. You get that? They didn't hear the enemy saw them. They just assumed that I see myself as a grasshopper to this giant. Well, he must see me that way as well. So there you go, God. We're just going to stay where we're at. We are stuck. Your existence in the wilderness for the next 40 years, right? Arguing for those grasshopper limitations. But this new generation rose up, right? A new generation came up and they grew. And so Joshua, who was leading the Israelites at this time, he sent these two spies out to check out this exact same land. And here's what they said when they came back. In Joshua 2, 23 and 24. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. Did you know that Joshua didn't have any parents? He was the son of Nun. Well, I needed a little rim shot back here, right? Okay. So he came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. So they told them about their adventures and what they had seen in the land. In verse 24, and they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. It doesn't sound like grasshoppers, does it? No, it sounded like they accepted who God told them they were. They accepted the mission that God had given them, and they said, let's go. Let's go. This new generation, they looked at the same land. They looked at the same enemies. They looked at the same risk. What was different? Their mindset. Something had transformed their mind so that they would agree with God about their potential. And that set them up for victory in the promised land. How powerful is it for us to agree with God on the power that He has put in us? To agree with God on the visions that He has put in us, on the plans that He has for us. How powerful if we just agree with Him on that and take the next step. So many times we stop. We stop what God has put in our hearts, and we start to feel stuck because we've fought for our own limitations. We've convinced ourselves, and we do our best to convince God that we just can't do it. So it's that mindset of being stuck that we're going to address today. The mindset that gives in to our feelings of just being stuck. It paralyzes us. It derails us from the goal or the dream or the vision or mission that God has put in our hearts. The truth is, though, we're not stuck as long as we don't stop. We're not stuck as long as we don't stop. As long as we don't stop and give in to these self-limiting beliefs that we have, or stop because things just feel too hard, too difficult, or stop because others will tell us that we'll never make it. Do you know that we let so many other people who have no place in our lives tell us that we can't make it? We listen to that so much more than we listen to what God says about us. Somebody puts a nasty response on one of our Instagram or Facebook posts, and we take it to heart. Oh, well, I guess I can't because Billy Bob 247 said that I can't. We stop because we hear others. We stop because we're afraid. We stop because we're afraid. We're afraid to fail. There is no failure. There's only moving forward. There's only growth. There's only learning. Failure is something that happens. Failure isn't who we are. Failure is an event. It's not a person. Oh, and some of us, though, and I think sometimes I have to put myself in this category, we're afraid to succeed. Oh, my goodness, if I succeed at this, the expectations are going to go up. People are going to expect a little bit more, so maybe I just need to stay where I'm at. Maybe I just need to be who I am right now and fall into self-paralysis. So many times we're stuck, self-paralyzed. But how do we get beyond that? How do we get beyond that? When we're so afraid to move forward, we're so afraid we'll fail, or we're so sure that those limiting beliefs are true, what do we do to keep moving forward? Well, I'm sure that many of you have heard and know the famous story of basketball, the GOAT, Michael Jordan. Don't even talk to me about LeBron. Michael's the GOAT. Remember in high school, he was cut from his basketball team, I think as a freshman, and didn't make the team. What did he do? What did he do? Did he say, okay, God, I guess I'm not cut out to be a basketball player. I didn't make the team this year. I'm just going to, I don't know, maybe play in the church league or something and maybe try to find another sport. No. Michael, if he were on the team, right? Do the thing that he would do if he made the team. What would I do if I were on the team? Okay, I'd work out on my dribbling skills for an hour a day. I would shoot 500 shots a day. Kept doing, do the thing that we would do, the next right thing. When you're not where you want to be yet and you feel stuck, do the thing that you would do if you were already there. Or at least get as close as you can. Take the next step. In other words, ask yourself, what would you do if you didn't have that limitation? What would you do if you were beyond that limitation? And then go and do that thing. Do the thing that you would do. And that's how we commit to progress. That's how we're not stuck, because we're not going to stop. God has placed this dream in our heart. God has given me this vision in the heart. God has given me a vision for people and bringing people to Christ in my heart. But I feel like I'm so shy and I feel like I don't have a story to tell. But I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go and do the thing I would do. I'm going to share my story with just one person. Maybe here's a great example, exercise. Maybe exercise is your thing, and you say to yourself, you know what? If I had an hour a day extra, an hour a day free, I would exercise. Have you ever said that? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand. But you don't have an hour, right? But you have 10 minutes. So you exercise for 10 minutes. You do the thing that you would do. If I had an hour, I'd exercise for an hour. I've got 10 minutes, so I'm going to exercise for 10 minutes. I'm going to do the thing that I'm going to do, that I would do. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait for all the circumstances to be right, for my schedule to clear up where I have a free hour every day, because that's not going to happen, right? Come on, let's be real. So you do the thing that you would do. You don't say, if I can't do it this way, I won't do it at all. That's how we get stuck. Conditions are never going to be perfect. We're never going to have every bit of information that we need. Those NASA scientists didn't have everything they need as they worked their way toward getting us to the moon. But they didn't stop. They did the next thing that they would do, right? If you wait for circumstances to be perfect, we'll be stuck. But if you do the thing that you would do, then you're making progress. You're not stuck. You might say, well, I want to be a Bible reader. I want to be somebody who reads the Bible. So what do? You do the thing that you would do. You read the Bible, right? You pull it out. If you have 2 minutes, if you have 20 minutes, if you have an hour, you pull it out and you read Scripture. Do the thing that you would do. You might say, well, I want to be a prayer warrior. I feel like God's calling me to be a prayer warrior. So you do the thing you would do and you pray. You pray in the time that you have. You pray in the moments that you have. You become that person by doing the thing that you would do. I'm afraid that we spend way too much time in our lives, or maybe it's just me, trying to make sure that all the circumstances are right. Everything is in order. Everything is perfectly laid out. Now I can start. And how many times does that happen? How many times does it happen where everything is just laid out for us and we know? And I see a big zero out there, right? In Ecclesiastes 11, Solomon, the wisest man ever, right? He says, he who observes the wind will not sow. You can sit and watch the wind all day, waiting for it to pick up or to... Oh, it looks like it might rain. I don't think I should get out in the fields today because it might rain. My app says, yeah, it's going to be raining. So you do the thing that you would do. You take action. And we're going to take a little different twist on it. We're going to change the emphasis a little bit. A little play on words too, right? We're going to change that emphasis, and because we all know that we talked about it earlier, we're a new creation in Christ, right? Let's take this little saying, do the thing that you would do, and let's change the emphasis a little bit, and let's say, do the thing that you would do. Do the thing that you would do. Which you? That you. The new you. The you that God is creating, right? The new creation in Christ Jesus, that you. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you. Do you want to be generous? Do the thing that you would do. The generous you, the loving you, the caring you. You're dealing with delay or procrastination or something that's not happening the way that you think it should. Do the thing that patient person would do, that proactive you would do. Take the steps you can take and leave the rest to God. Do the thing that you would do, that new you. I love a quote recently as the women's Final Four was kind of taking shape, and there's a player for University of Connecticut, and after the game they talked with her. Her name is Paige. I think it's Buckers, maybe Beckers. And she said, I did all I could so God could do what I can't. I did all I could so God can do what I can. Faith in that, right? Faith to believe that if I do what I can do, God has got my back. So we do what we could do so God can do what we can't do. And we trust and believe and have faith that it's going to happen. You see how we think about ourselves? And my goodness, how it can hold you back. What we think we're capable of is crucial. What we think God is capable of in us is crucial. So we can spend time with God and we can get his vision of where our lives can go and we can start living like that person now. We can start living like that person now because God has put it in our heart. What would that you do? The other you that you're working toward. The one that God created and that God knows intimately. The real you. The you that doesn't listen to what other people want to say about you. The you that won't listen to the enemy when he tells us that we're not enough. Man, I've heard so many people over the last 6 weeks, and they say, the biggest issue I'm having right now is I feel like I'm not enough. I've heard of studies with young people over the last couple of years, and their biggest feelings about themselves, their biggest feelings about their life and what's ahead is that I'm not enough. And we listen to all that crap, and we believe it because we don't take God's word and see what he says about us. And we don't do what we can do so God can do what we can't do. What would that you do? Doing the thing that you would do. And then you know what? You do the next thing. And then the next thing. And then the next thing. Doing what that thing that we would do so that we're not stuck. Renewing our minds, being renewed day after day, week after week, continuing. We're not transformed, we're not renewed once, we're being renewed every day. Some of us here today, we're ready for that. We're ready for a renewal. The worship team can come up. Ready for a renewal, ready to be transformed. And you don't know where to start. I didn't do it. You want a life filled with hope. You're ready for that. You're ready for hope. You're ready to stop being stuck, right? To renew your mind with the facts that you are created in God's image. Fact that you are created in God's image. Fact. Not conjecture, not wishing, not hoping. God created us in His image. Believing that about ourselves and believing the facts that we're accepted, that we're chosen, that we're rescued. That we're complete in Christ. But you still feel stuck in your life. But you want to believe. You want to move beyond that. But you feel like these circumstances today, they're just too much and I can't move forward today. Well, let me tell you, that is not true. God has a plan for you. And today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're saying to yourself, when things get better, when I get my life straightened out, when I get things figured out, that's when I'm going to start going to church. That's when I'm going to start accepting Jesus and following Him and becoming a disciple. First, I guess, how's that going for you? Because in the meantime, you feel stuck, you feel tired, you feel sad, and you believe the self-limiting thoughts that you tell yourself. So if that's you today, if you're here and you're saying, yes, this renewal sounds great, this transformation sounds great, but I'm stuck where I'm at, I'm challenging you to do today to do that thing that you would do. To do that thing that you would do. Do the next thing that you would do, that renewed you, that transformed you. What would that be? And today, I think maybe for a lot of us, it's just starting with a Savior. Allowing Jesus to come into our lives and allowing Jesus to save us and bring us salvation from sin and the things that have been in our life and start this process of becoming new. Because when we are in Christ Jesus, we're a new creation. It starts with the Savior. The next thing that you would do is accept Jesus as your Savior. Jesus, who had a mindset of his own when he was here on earth, and goes something like this: for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, who came and died on the cross, we just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection to conquer death, to conquer the grave. Do the next thing that you would do. Accept Jesus as your Savior. And by faith, believe that the best is yet to come. By faith, believe that God has a plan for you. By faith, put all those words that others may have spoken over you or that the enemy of your soul speaks over you. By faith, put all those aside and say, by faith, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Wherever you lead me, I'm your disciple. I want to be yours. And today is the day I'm starting. Today is the day that I'm going to do that next thing. So if that's you, if that's how you feel in your spirit, if you feel that kind of churn in your spirit, that maybe your heart pounding fast, you've never accepted Jesus, and you feel like today is the day of transformation starting. Today is the day of renewing. And I'm going to pray, and we're all going to pray out loud together. And I'll ask you to pray out loud too. If you're at home watching on the internet, I'll ask you to pray along with us. Pray along with us. Lord Jesus, God, I want to be renewed. I want to be transformed. But first, Lord, I want to turn from my sin. I want to accept you as my Savior. I want to turn and follow you, repenting of those things in the past and leaving them in the past as well. Being transformed into a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for life. I'm giving you mine now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's give God a hand. I think he's doing things here today that are life-changing, that are transformational for so many of us. So many of us, even who know Jesus, so many of us who follow Jesus, we're challenged today. We're challenged in who we're going to listen to. Challenged to the things that we're going to let into our minds. Challenged today. God's in the transformation business. He's in the renewal business. Makes things new. Creates beauty from ashes. What if all of us together we seek his discernment, we let him transform us into all that he created us to be. Think about the impact on our families. Think about the impact in our schools. And think about the impact to our communities. Doing that thing that we would do. Not being stuck. Not stopping. Because we're not stuck until we stop. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We ask God that as we leave, that you go with us, Lord, and you change our minds. You transform us by renewing our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Joy Church, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And man, I'm fired up to tell you that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. All right, Kathy and I are going to be out back here. We'd love to meet you if we haven't yet. Man, we can meet you if we have before. And also, there's life group signups. Be sure and do that. Love you guys.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.